Energy and utility problems with landlords. When you don't have heat, your landlord is responsible for providing a working heating system that can heat your home to at least 65 degrees Fahrenheit. If the heating system doesn't work properly and your landlord fails to fix it, he or she can be arrested. The only time your landlord may require you to pay for heating fuel is when the heat is only for your use. You're not responsible for heating fuel if any of the fuel is used to heat other apartments or areas shared with other tenants, for example, a shared hallway or basement. If your landlord is responsible for supplying heating fuel but doesn't, and the temperature stays below 65 degrees Fahrenheit, he or she can be arrested. If you don't have heat because your landlord's utility bill, electricity, or gas was not paid, continue listening. Steps you can take to get heat when you need it right away. Use a thermometer to check the temperature in your home. Write down the date, time, and temperature. Contact your landlord or the manager. Explain that all or part of your home is too cold. Ask for heat of at least 65 degrees Fahrenheit. If you can't contact your landlord or the manager, or if they don't resolve the problem, contact your local housing or health code enforcement official. You can usually find these health officials through the blue pages in the phone book, your town hall, or the Connecticut Department of Public Health's website. If you can't find the health official, call the Connecticut Department of Public Health at 860-509-7660. Ask for their help in arranging adequate heat. If you still don't have heat, or if the Housing Code Enforcement Office is closed for the night or weekend, contact the police and ask that your landlord be arrested. Tell the police that the law being violated is Connecticut General Statute Section 19A-109. The police officer should take the temperature in your apartment. If it's 65 degrees or higher, the officer cannot do anything. So if you're using a space heater or your stove to heat a cold apartment, there may not be evidence that the landlord has broken the law. It's dangerous to use a stove for heating unless the stove is specially equipped to provide heat. You may need to be insistent with the police and file a formal complaint. The threat of arrest may encourage your landlord to arrange for adequate heat for you. When you don't have cooking gas, electricity, hot water, or running water. If you don't have cooking gas, electricity, hot water, or running water when your landlord is responsible for providing these services, your landlord can be arrested. You cannot be required to pay for cooking gas, electricity, hot water, or running water if any of the service is used by any other tenant or used in an area shared with other tenants, for example, in a shared hallway or basement. If you need these services immediately, first contact your landlord or the manager, then the housing or health code officials, and then the police. It also violates Connecticut General Statute Section 19A-109 when your landlord is responsible for but does not provide cooking gas, electricity, hot water, or running water. Other actions you can take: getting heat, electricity, gas, water, or different housing. In some situations, you can buy the service your landlord is not providing, even though he or she is responsible for the service, and deduct your costs from the rent. You can do this in addition to seeking help from housing and health code officials and the police. However, you cannot use this law if you, a member of your household, or a guest caused the problem. You also cannot use this law if the problem is outside the landlord's control. For example, the furnace breaks down and the landlord is trying to make repairs, or a power line is down and the utility company must make repairs. To use the law, you must write to your landlord. Send a letter by both regular and certified mail and keep a copy for your records. Keep the green card you get back from the post office. In the letter, write what the problem is and what services you don't have. Ask for the problem to be corrected immediately. If the problem is not corrected immediately, you can do one of these things. You can get reasonable amounts of the missing services during the time your landlord isn't providing them and deduct the cost from your rent. If you do, be sure to get receipts for any service you purchase, for example, a space heater you bought and fuel for it. Or, if you do not have the missing services for 2 business days after you notified your landlord of the problem, you can get other housing until the problem is fixed. If the same problem happens again within 6 months, you can get other housing immediately. If you move temporarily to new housing, you do not owe your landlord rent for the time you spent in the substitute housing before the problem is resolved. You can sue your landlord for the cost of substitute housing up to the amount of rent you would have normally paid him or her for the time you had to be in substitute housing. Since substitute housing usually costs more than rent, for example, a motel, you may not be able to get the full cost. Or, if your landlord is intentionally not supplying you with services, you can end your lease and sue your landlord for up to 2 months' rent or double your costs related to his or her failure to provide services, whichever is higher. Your costs could include the cost of substitute housing or a space heater and fuel or other expenses. If you need to sue your landlord in any of these options, you can ask the court to require the landlord to pay for your attorney. Making rent payments into court. If your landlord is not providing required services or making repairs despite your request, do not stop paying your rent. If you choose to reduce your rent based on the information in this booklet, do so only under circumstances and by the amount this book tells you is legal, or your landlord may try to evict you. You have another option under Connecticut law, a payment into court lawsuit, where you pay your rent to the court. The court can order your landlord to make repairs or provide services. It can also order some of your rent to be returned. To file a payment into court action, you must contact the Town Housing or Health Code or Business Enforcement Agency at least 21 days before you file a court action. Explain the problem and ask for assistance resolving it. If you live in a mobile home park, contact Consumer Action at the Connecticut Department of Consumer Protection at 860-713-6135 for assistance. After 21 days, if your problem has not been resolved, contact the housing court and ask to file a payment into court action. You will need to fill out two forms, the notice of suit and the complaint. Bring cash or a money order. The clerk will not take a personal check. There is a filing fee to do this, but it can be waived for low-income persons. Ask the court clerk how to file for a fee waiver. You can also get fee waiver instructions at ctlawhelp.org by searching the keyword fee waiver. Again, do not stop paying your rent. You may not file a payment into court action if your landlord has sent you a notice to quit for non-payment of rent before you file with the court or before you complain to the Town Housing or Health Code Enforcement Agency or the Commissioner of Consumer Protection. Court-appointed receiver of rent. If there are three or more apartments in your building, a majority of tenants can ask the court to appoint someone to collect the rent, known as a receiver. The receiver would be responsible for arranging repairs and providing services such as heat, electricity, gas, hot water, or running water. The court will not appoint a receiver for the rent if the tenants cause the problem. There's no fee for filing this type of case in court, but it is complicated and representation by an attorney is important. Complaining to a Fair Rent Commission. Some cities and towns have a Fair Rent Commission. These commissions consider whether rental charges are excessive in light of the services and equipment supplied by the landlord, whether apartments or rented homes meet health and safety requirements in the law, and the availability of utilities. They can hold rent payments by tenants and order rent reductions or repairs. If your city or town has a Fair Rent Commission, the ordinance or legal rules describing the commission will be available at the town clerk's office. The ordinance will provide you with information on how to complain to the commission. When your utility meter covers more than your utility service. If your gas, electric, or water utility meter covers service provided to other tenants or to areas shared with other tenants, such as lights in the basement or hallway or over a porch that leads to more than one apartment, the bill should be in your landlord's name, not in your name. In this situation, you have two choices. You can ask the utility company to put the service in your landlord's name, or you can leave the utility service in your name and deduct from the rent a reasonable estimate of the cost of the portion of the service which is used by other tenants. The utility company can provide you with such an estimate. You should ask the utility company to provide this estimate in writing, and you should save this written estimate in case you have to use it in court later. There is less risk to you if you have the bill put into your landlord's name in this situation. If you leave the bill in your name and it gets to be more than you can afford, you may end up with a debt to the utility company that is difficult to pay. You also risk being evicted for not paying your rent and having to prove in court that you only deducted from the rent a reasonable estimate of the utility use of other tenants. If you ask the utility company to put your service into your landlord's name and they refuse, you can dispute your bill and appeal to the Connecticut Department of Public Utility Control, also known as the DPUC. The Legal Aid article, Rights of Utility Customers, will tell you how to dispute your bill and appeal to the DPUC if necessary. This is not difficult to do. Go to ctlawhelp.org and search the keyword utilities. When a landlord requests that utility service be shut off, gas, electric, or water companies, except municipal utilities like Norwich Public Utilities, cannot shut off service at the request of a landlord unless the landlord provides the utility with a statement signed by the tenant agreeing to have the utility service shut off. You should never agree to have your utility service shut off while you still live in your apartment or home. Or, if the landlord provides a notarized statement that there are no tenants in the house or apartment signed by the landlord. If you get a notice that your service will be shut off, or if your utility service has been shut off at your landlord's request, call the utility company and ask them to turn your service back on. If the utility bill was in your name before the shutoff, it should stay in your name. However, if the landlord or someone else is responsible for the bill, do not agree to have it put in your name. The Legal Aid article, Rights of Utility Customers, tells you how to appeal to the Connecticut Department of Public Utility Control, the DPUC, if a utility company shuts off your utility service at the request of your landlord and does not immediately turn service on once you contact them. Go to ctlawhelp.org and search the keyword utilities. When the landlord is responsible for the bill and utility service is shut off. Gas, electric, and water companies cannot shut off your utility service if your landlord is responsible for the utility bill unless the company gives you 13 days advance written notice by regular mail or 7 days notice by certified mail, depending on whether and when prior notices were sent to you, of the plan to shut off service. The notice must include the date of the planned shutoff and the telephone number and address of the utility company and the Connecticut Department of Public Utility Control, the DPUC. The notice must also explain your options for avoiding a shutoff. If you make a payment to a utility company under one of these options, the full amount of any payment can be deducted from your rent payment. The following are possible options. If there is a separate meter for your apartment or home, and the meter does not cover another apartment or any shared areas such as hallways or basements, the company can require you to put service in your name. If the service is put in your name, the utility company cannot charge you a security deposit, and you do not have to pay any of the amount owed by your landlord before the bill was put into your name. If there is a master meter, more than one apartment on a meter, or at least one apartment and area shared by other tenants, there are two possibilities. One, if all the tenants agree in writing, service can be put into everyone's names with an agreed-upon plan for dividing the bill and responsibility for payment. As long as at least one tenant is making his or her payments under such a plan, the utility service cannot be terminated. Any tenant or the utility company can end this arrangement at any time for any reason by requesting in writing that it be ended. If you do not agree to the possibility we just described, or you initially agreed but then notified the utility company that you wanted the arrangement to end, the utility company cannot terminate utility service. The company can sue the landlord and ask a court to appoint a receiver. A receiver would collect rent and pay the utility bills. The Legal Aid article, Rights of Utility Customers, will tell you how to appeal the DPUC if a utility company does not follow the rules that we just explained. It's not difficult to appeal to the DPUC. Go to ctlawhelp.org and search the keyword utilities. When a tenant wants to weatherize to reduce energy and utility bills. If you want to weatherize your rented home or apartment to reduce energy and utility bills or to be more comfortable, you do not need the landlord's permission. However, you must follow a procedure where you notify your landlord and give him or her a chance to disapprove of the weatherization. Even though you must notify your landlord, he or she cannot disapprove of the installation of removable weather stripping around windows or doors, removable interior storm windows, and insulation wrap around hot water heating tanks. Any weatherization measures you decide to take must be done without cost to your landlord unless your landlord agrees to cover the cost. How to notify your landlord of what you intend to do. Send a letter by certified mail, return receipt requested, to your landlord. In the letter, tell your landlord what weatherization measures you intend to take. Keep a copy of your letter. Unless your landlord gives you written notice within 20 days that the weatherization measures you intend to take are disapproved, you may go ahead and take the action you told the landlord you would in your letter. For more information about help resolving problems with utility companies, go to ctlawhelp.org and search the keyword utilities. For more information, go to ctlawhelp.org. If you need a lawyer, call Statewide Legal Services at 1-800-453-3320.